T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Barry Jackson, who covers everything on the South Florida sports scene for the Miami Herald. You can read his Florida Sports Buzz column in the Herald. Of course, follow him on Twitter at FLA Sports Buzz. He joins us from Las Vegas, where he's covering the Summer League, but he has been all over everything involving the Heat with these potential trades. Barry, thank you for joining us. How's everything going out in Vegas?
Hi, Greg. Good to be with you guys. It's hot as heck, 115 today.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, you are in the desert, and yeah, the Summer League, it's called summer for a reason out there. My goodness.
Barry, they got some good pool parties if you want to cool off now. You know what I'm saying?
There is no time for that, Brian. Between first Westbrook and now Chris Paul, it's glued to the hotel and the arena.
Hey, hit up Wet Republic. You might see some of those guys out there and get the scoop. Just saying.
All right. Brian might have some inside information for you. One of the pool parties. Barry, we'll get to it. You just posted a new article. I want to talk about Chris Paul in a moment. But first, for somebody who's been covering this story so closely with the Heat talking to the Thunder about Russell Westbrook, what was your reaction when the news came down last night that the Thunder struck a deal with the Rockets instead of the Miami Heat?
Well, it made sense to me at that point that they didn't accept the Heat's offer, because if you're going to get a player who's still obviously a very good player in Chris Paul, albeit one with an onerous contract, plus two first-round picks, which we know Oklahoma City values above everything else. And I certainly can understand OKC doing that instead of a Heat offer of a couple of contracts plus perhaps one young player. The Heat might have done Justice Winslow. They certainly were not willing to do Tyler Hero. They were not willing to do two among Hero, Bam Adebayo, and Winslow. And Miami, by NBA rule, could not trade a first-round pick to Oklahoma City because they've committed picks 7 years out. You can't have a pick going to another team beyond 7 years by NBA rules. So I can understand OKC taking Houston's offer, and I totally understand and agree with Riley's decision not to make Hero available and not to make Bam available either. So I can understand it from both sides. It would have been great to have Westbrook here because it would have made the Heat more relevant. It would have put you in the discussion for seeds 3, 4, and 5, but it's certainly understandable why it didn't work out.
Yeah, and it makes sense. Brian and I were talking about it. That is a more attractive offer from the Rockets, considering everything you just described. With that in mind, now Chris Paul is with the Thunder, but it doesn't sound like he's going to be there for very long if they have their way. You have an update on this, because certainly the national reporters have said, hey, the Heat are having conversations, and we've been talking about your tweet, and now you have a story about it. I encourage everybody to check that out for MiamiHerald.com. But where do things stand between the Heat and the Thunder as it pertains to Chris Paul?
Yes. Well, someone involved portrayed it to me that the Heat does not have strong interest. There is no aggressive pursuit. But at the same time, it cannot entirely be ruled out because Miami is doing due diligence. They are kicking the tires on it. It's a question of would OKC overwhelm Miami and give them enough incentive to take on a contract that would basically take them out of max free agency in 2021. Now, there would be a way around it. You could potentially do a trade for 2021 free agent a year in advance, 6 months in advance, but at the same time, you basically would be sacrificing your ability to sign a max free agent that summer by taking on Chris Paul. The Heat's aware of that. They'd be reluctant to do it unless Oklahoma City absolutely made it worth their while. So I cannot by any means rule it out, but I was told today that this is not something that the Heat is aggressively pursuing. This is something that Oklahoma City is pursuing to try to rid themselves of the last 3 years and $124 million of his contract.
Now, with the Heat, might not be a player in the 2021 if they bring on the Chris Paul deal. Let me ask you two questions. Would you want Chris Paul on the Heat team, and do you think that's a good deal? And what would it take for you to say, okay, that was a good deal for the Heat to get back from OKC?
Brian, I think it'd be a mistake to pursue because I do not want to leave myself in a position where the only way I would get a free agent who's an elite player over the next 3 years would be hoping that they're willing to do a sign and trade with you. I just don't think what you get from Chris Paul at this stage of his career is worth sacrificing that kind of freedom. And not because Chris Paul hasn't been a terrific player. He clearly has been. 9-time All-Star, 4-time All-NBA first team, although not since 2014, which is a long time for that honor. The issue is he's 34, he's due a ton of money, and he's not durable. He's missed 26 and 30 games over the last 3 years. So I just think it would be a mistake to pursue. The only thing that I would consider, and I'm not even certain I would do it, would be if OKC gave you back the two first-round picks that they now own in 2021 and 2023 and took three contracts the Heat does not want, James Johnson certainly among them, and then an expiring contract. Obviously, the Heat's not looking to trade Dragic, but that would be logical to be included if you did do a Chris Paul deal. But at the same time, it's difficult for me to envision Sam Presti agreeing to that because he values hoarding draft picks more than anything in this rebuilding process. So the notion of him giving the Heat back the 2021 and 2023 picks just seems highly unlikely to me. But we'll see. Until Paul is sent somewhere, the Heat will remain a possibility. But what's clear is that they are not pursuing it with the verve and the fervor that they did with Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, I was looking at it and saying the only way that I would take on CP3 is if they were giving me enough back that I could flip that for Bradley Beal.
Right, and there's no indication that Washington wants to trade Beal. I ran an update on that today where the Athletic in Washington, D.C. spoke to Tommy Shepard, the Wizards' director of basketball operations, who said basically what we've been hearing, that Washington has no intention of trading Beal at this time. And even though there is sentiment inside the Heat to take on Walls, $172 million in order to get Beal, Washington's not even considering that at this time. Now, that to me, that would change only if Beal tells them, I'm not resigning in 2021. So in that scenario, I could see possibly the Heat having an opportunity next summer. But the question at that point is if it would require, Tyler Hero or Bam Adebayo going back, what would even be the point of doing it next summer? Why not just wait until free agency in 2021? So I don't see anything happening with Beal this summer. And whether it happens before 2021 is completely dependent on whether he tells the Wizards he intends to stay or not stay.
Barry Jackson joining us, of course, covers everything on the South Florida sports scene for the Miami Herald. He's out in Las Vegas covering Summer League and really everything NBA because that's the epicenter of the NBA universe, at least during this couple-week period. Barry, you've been out there all week watching this Heat Summer League team perform. How impressed have you been by Tyler Hero and some of these other young players that are looking to make an impact and potentially be on the roster for the upcoming season?
It's funny, Greg, with Tyler Hero, because I don't think a player who's shooting less than 40% from the field can be more impressive than what he has. I mean, if you look at the raw numbers, 39% from the field, 33% from threes, and yet, even though that's not highly efficient, you come away from watching the guy saying, this guy can play. He can fill the box score. He rebounds well for his size. His playmaking and passing have been terrific. Now, there is some sloppiness with some of his passes, but his lobs have been great. He's sharp. He's alert. He has good instincts. He's got a moxie to his game. And so everyone with the Heat is thoroughly impressed with how he's done. I think he's exceeded their expectations from some of the feedback that I get. And so he's been an unquestioned success story. And remember, even though his shooting percentage isn't great, he's still averaging 19 a game, and he's 24 for 25 on free throws. Beyond him, clearly the other great story from summer has been Kendrick Nunn. And this was a terrific pickup because they signed him hours before the regular season finale on April 10th. And the opportunity was there because Golden State did not have the roster space to sign him from their summer league team. They needed Andrew Bogut and other players to fill out their roster for a playoff run. So the Heat seized on that. They signed Kendrick Nunn. He's been terrific offensively, very good defensively, a pest against opposing point guards and shooting guards. He's distributed the ball really well. He's clearly an NBA player. The question at this point is, does he eventually get into an NBA rotation? But I would say he'd be near certain to be on your team next year.
Yeah, it's great to see some of these young players and the possibilities there. Now, with that in mind, Barry, I saw you tweet about this as well. The Miami Hurricanes have been well represented in the Summer League, huh?
Yes, Lonnie Walker has been terrific. I saw part of his game the other day that DeJuan Hernandez played in before I talked to DeJuan. And what a dynamic offensive player. We saw only glimpses of it, guys, during his 1 year at Miami because he was here such a short time and then the quick exit from the NCAA tournament. But he could be the Spurs' best player in 4 years. I don't think anyone would be shocked if that happened. And then Bruce Brown got a very good floor game. He's leading Summer League in assists at 8.3 a game for Detroit. DeJuan has had some good moments. He was telling me just what a strange year it has been, what a journey in terms of being suspended by the NCAA, but then being drafted, which surprised a lot of people considering his year out of the game. So several good Kane stories here in Vegas.
Yes, to be sure. Barry Jackson joining us here from the Miami Herald. He's out in Las Vegas covering the Summer League. Barry, getting back to the Heat in the Eastern Conference, I know you just posted an article about this as well, but assuming, and we don't know, lots of things can change. If that's something we've learned very well over the last 3 weeks in the NBA, that sudden change happens quickly. But if the Heat don't make a Chris Paul deal and their roster is what we think it's going to be with Jimmy Butler leading the way, how good do you think this Heat team can be in the upcoming season?
I would say a ceiling maybe of 46 wins, and I'm not even convinced they get to that point because here's how I look at it. You're obviously adding the best player you've had in your franchise for years, knowing that the Wade you had the last couple of years wasn't an in-his-prime Wade. So that's clearly meaningful. But you're losing three of your best six players, and you can make the case three of your best five players with Richardson, Wade, and Whiteside, who's the only player other than Wade who's ever led the league in anything who played for the Heat last year. So I wouldn't sell that short. And obviously, you gain Hero, but you don't know what he's going to do as a rookie. So I think they're slightly improved. I don't think they're dramatically improved. I still think they're probably in the range of 7th or 8th in the East, competing with Detroit and Orlando, maybe the Knicks. We'll see if Indiana falls back to that range because of Oladipo's health issues. He's not going to be back for a couple of months into the season. We'll see if Toronto falls back into that range too. But remember, guys, they were 17-5 without Kawhi Leonard last year. So I'm not convinced that Toronto is going to fall to 7 or 8. They might stay, in the 3-5 range. So I think the Heat's a playoff team, but I'm certainly not going to go out and bet any sum of money on it.
Yeah, all really good points, Barry. Real quickly, before we let you run, we talked yesterday at length about, and we kind of emanated from your article about the Miami Hurricanes quarterback situation, and Brian was giving his thoughts on that. But, you made some really interesting notes about that, and what in your mind, for those who haven't read the article, will be the primary factors for Manny Diaz and really Dan Enos in determining who will be the starter for the Miami Hurricanes?
I'd say accuracy and decision-making primarily. I mentioned to someone that I thought mobility would give Martell an advantage, and I was warned not to overstate that, that it would essentially come down to those two issues. And Nikosi was the best coming out of spring. He won the spring MVP award. So I said to a couple of UM people, doesn't that make him the favorite? And they said, I'm telling you, the job is wide open. And Diaz has said publicly that this is even. That this is going to be an even race coming into July 25th. Everyone's going to get a fresh start. So I would make Nikosi the slightest of favorites, which means nothing essentially, because he can easily be overtaken by Martell or even by Jaren Williams in spring. What I found interesting was Dan Enos said they'd like to cut from 3 to 2 fairly quickly. So I think whoever is the least impressive of the group in the first week of camp probably will be eliminated. The concern there, though, would be if it's not Martell who's eliminated, then, if it's Jaren Williams, does he go transfer with a month to find another school?
Barry, great insight as always. You've been really prolific with a bunch of articles you've been posting. So thank you very much for taking the time. I know you've been really busy, and we'll continue to monitor everything you're writing in the Miami Herald. Of course, you on Twitter as well at FLA Sports Buzz. Thanks so much, Barry.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Brian.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.